Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the second day of November, the first trading day of the month. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, the folks from the Andersons right here in Champaign County will join us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. We'll discuss the weather forecast, too. That with the guys at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. It all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I hear the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. December contract in the corn pit down 5¾ cents today at $3.76 and a half. The March at $3.85 and a quarter, 6¼ lower. May down 6¼ at $3.91. July $3.95 and a quarter, down 6¼, and December at $4.02, down 6. Soy complex, November beans, 6 lower at $8.77 and three quarters. January, $8.78 and three quarters, down 7. And the March futures at 7¼ lower, finished $8.81 and a half. The May down 7½, July down 8, and September of next year down 7¼. So was the November contract. It finished at $8.82 and three quarters of a cent per bushel. Bean meal futures off 220 at 302.20, and the bean oil down 35 cents today at 27.85. Soft red winter wheat in the December down 14 cents at $5.08. July at 5.17, down 13. July hard red down 10 and 3 quarters at $5.19 and a quarter. Feeder cattle $192.20 in the November's up $1.30. Live cattle for the December at $141.80, 7½ cents higher. And lean hogs December contract $1 and a nickel lower at $58.15 for the day. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Have you picked up your tickets yet for the Farm Assets Conference? I hope so, but probably not. So right now is a great time to do it at 800-898-1065. You can check out all the details about the Farm Assets Conference. It's coming up at the end of this month, the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. That's the 24th day of November. Cost is just $30. Again, you can buy those tickets online, willag.org, farmassetsconference.com, or by dialing 1-800-898-1065.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Checking some of the outside markets. Crude oil trading $46.07 a barrel, down 52 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.57 and 7 cents, now 2½ lower. And gasoline up 0.3 cents per gallon at $1.37 and a half. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, down 0.8 cents at $1.50 and 7 cents. And natural gas for the day at $2.25 and a half, down 6¾ cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands 140 points higher at 17,734. U.S. dollar down 0.014 at 97.005. And gold futures for the day at $1,134.75, down $6.65. Here's what the weather forecast says for the rest of the day today. Sunny skies, beautiful outside, 71 degrees, south winds at 6 to 8 for this Monday afternoon. Clear this evening, will drop to 46 degrees on a south-southeast wind at 3 to 6 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, sunny skies again, 73 for the high. South-southeast winds will continue at 3 to 7. They'll stay with us as we make our way into Tuesday night under mostly clear skies and a low of 52 degrees. Wednesday, sunny and 73. Thursday, partly sunny and 71. Chance of showers by the time we get to Friday, mostly cloudy and the high of 63 degrees. Saturday, sunny and 54. It'll start to cool off as we head into the weekend, and sunny and high of 52 for Sunday. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Risk Pulse. They're in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this first trading day of the month of November. It's the second, actually. On the line with us is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Hi, Kurt. How are you today? Kind of quiet day.
It really was. News-wise, commodity funds were dominant players. They sold about 3,000 beans. 1,000 meal, 1,000 oil, 5,000 corn, about 4,000 wheat. And it's kind of, you know, on the low end for Monday. The main event of the day was the protest surrounding the Chicago Board of Trade.
I did see that. I actually followed up a little bit on that. A group called Moral Mondays Illinois.com, and I'm not sure exactly why they were protesting at the CME group. I think it had to do potentially with a tax they wanted to put on trade for you guys, for the farmers and brokers and such, at what, $1 or $2 that Rahm Emanuel and company in Chicago were thinking about. But Moral Mondays Illinois is a group that was opposed to the budget crisis in the state. So I called them to see whether they'd give me a response back and figure out exactly why they decided to protest at the CME group, but they locked people inside the building for a while. I guess they had to have the police come, and I don't know what they did with them. I didn't see it other than I made note of it. So that was the most exciting thing of the day. Trade was lower in Chicago, and I'm wondering whether you have looked back at the month of October. I know you looked back and understand the crop insurance setting month there, but how did we fare for the whole month for corn and soybeans?
I don't have those numbers. For the most part, though, we've virtually been sideways here.
Right.
Ever since clear back last fall, the corn closed 387 and three quarters on September 30th there for the D. So we're actually had a reversal down a little lower for the month. The November beans, see here, there on September 30th, they closed at 892, so just slightly lower for the month there from where we ended up there in September there, Todd.
And this would be fairly typical, and then the seasonal pattern should be to turn sideways to higher?
Higher, yes. We don't want this down stuff. We sold our crop. We got it all bought back. We still have crop in the bin stacked outside. We bought more on the board, so we want it to go up.
You're doubling down, are you?
Dex is hedged. We're doing everything to try to make a few pennies to the upside. But, no, seasonally, once a guy fills up a grain bin, he's not going to empty it. Far more importantly, once they pay that minimum storage, or commit to minimum storage, they're not going to turn right around and sell it. So, we got billions of bushels to sell, but we got a million bushels to be bought. And this time window in through here from sometime middle of harvest until about middle of December, cash grain has a tendency to kind of creep sideways to higher. Now, I don't believe it's going to go high enough to make everybody happy. But I think it's going to be one of those deals where we break, we find buying interest, then when we rally, we're going to see some selling interest done.
Are there going to be opportunities, though, between now and the end of the year, do you suppose, for producers either to market corn or soybeans, and let's give them a number, say, at, $4 cash and $9 cash?
I think that's going to keep a lid on it. I have a feeling if we just sort of grind in through here, if we creep up those levels, we're going to see some active interest on getting caught up on some sales. There's going to be some cash flows here after the first year. In the meantime, there's really no real cash flow crunch unless you got a trip in mind or some Christmas things you need to be bought. Producers are kind of dug in and willing to ride the storm here at least for 60 days or so.
Anything on the livestock side of the market we ought to discuss today?
Well, negative publicity, especially in the pork sector. kind of peaked here today, we feel. I have a feeling those committed to eating bacon and hot dogs are going to continue to eat bacon and hot dogs no matter what for a while. But for the most part, cutouts just fell apart. We are looking at a few more numbers of hogs coming at us. Weights are a little bit heavier. But we've been killing 8% more hogs than a year ago for quite some time. So we feel this break in here is going to stimulate some pork going in the freezer or maybe even a little bit of export business, Todd.
On that news, and you probably have not seen this, but the WHO issued a second press release as it relates to processed meat, pork in particular, I suppose, would be one of those, sausage and bacon and such. And you'll hear it in our newscast that basically said, well, this was something we think you should eat in moderation, and deferred back to their 2002 releases. So we'll see how that goes. Picked up by the news, at least by us.
So fast food having breakfast 24/7 might not be a good idea.
We'll see. that's not an idea, but that's consumption on your side. Fast food believes that everybody will buy it, probably. So it sort of depends, right, on which side of that market. All right. Hey, thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
All right. Take care. Thanks so much.
Yeah, bye-bye. That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities. Out of Normal, Illinois, joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. You can also buy your tickets to the Farm Assets Conference there. We're in the month of November. No longer any reason to wait. Time to buy them right now. Do it at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Need to see what's on at the Farm Assets Conference. The agenda is right there at farmassetsconference.com. You can buy your tickets online as well, willag.org or farmassetsconference.com. Just $30, 800-898-1065. Leading today's agricultural news, a vote on Senate Joni Ernst resolution against the Clean Water Rule, or Waters of the U.S., known as WOTUS, could come as soon as this week. Ernst announced last week she now has enough support to overcome a filibuster, but did not outline how many supporters have signed on to the resolution, which would effectively kill the WOTUS rule. AgriPulse reports that although President Obama would almost certainly veto the disapproval resolution, the Senate vote would be a test of support for blocking the rule legislatively through a policy rider in the fiscal 26 spending bill that Congress is expected to consider in December. Speaking of that omnibus bill, following a budget agreement that seeks $3 billion worth of savings through cuts to crop insurance over a 10-year period, a Cornell professor says the move will increase premiums, lead to lower uptake by farmers, and further discourage providers from participating in federal crop insurance. Joshua Woodard at Cornell's Dyson School of Applied Economics and Management says recent Cornell research shows that farmers do not tend to use crop insurance unless premiums are subsidized. Woodard said with the Agricultural Act of 2014, our policymakers clearly established a crop insurance as the primary and preferred tool for dealing with yield and revenue risk. However, it continues that there has been a plethora of changes in the federal crop insurance program in the last few years, which have made it far less profitable for private insurers. He says further reductions in farmer participation on top of that, coupled with a capping of company returns, as is in the proposal, could very well lead to more companies exiting the market. Speaking of which, at least one farm state lawmaker is actually pleased with the new federal budget provision that reduces the crop insurance subsidies to insurance companies. Brian Winnikus has more.
Wisconsin 3rd District Congressman Ron Kind says that the new budget agreement will reduce the profit margin for crop insurance companies from 14 to 9%.
So instead of them getting a guaranteed 14% profit margin when they bear virtually no risk, because when the claims rise, it's the taxpayers that pay it. Instead, they'll be reduced down to 9% profit margin. And still, there's not a business in the world, Brian, that would not take a guaranteed 9% profit margin from the federal government while bearing very little risk.
Opponents of the reduction fear it would reduce the number of companies willing to offer crop insurance and thus reduce farmers' choices. Kind is not concerned about that.
No, I'm not concerned about that. First of all, I want to be clear, this isn't going to cost any farmer an additional nickel. This is all about the profit margin of private insurance companies. There are 15 big ones right now, like Wells Fargo. They're not going away. And they're not going to walk away from a 9% guarantee from the federal government. I can promise you that. And over the last 10 years, they've reaped over a $12 billion profit from crop insurance. The only year where it got tight for them was in 2012 when we had that terrible drought. And even then, the American taxpayer paid 90% of the claim.
Kind believes family farmers will not be adversely affected by the subsidy reduction, and the crop insurance industry will continue to be, quote, alive and well, unquote. I'm Brian Winnekins.
One more item to deal with as it relates to crop insurance. At least two major farm groups now say the deal claimed by the House and Senate ag leaders to reverse crop insurance cuts made in the just-passed budget deal certainly isn't a done deal. It's a kind of deal where you shake hands and say you're going to do something, but getting it done, that's a different matter. Here's National Farmers Union's Chandler Gould.
We also saw a message from Minority Leader Reid saying he had no intentions of using the omnibus to fix the crop insurance. But then immediately after that, you saw Chairman Roberts and Ranking Member Stabenow, and then, of course, a member of the committee, Senator Heitkamp from North Dakota, saying that they would work to restore this money, but did not say specifically in what manner it would be fixed in.
It will take $3 billion to fix the crop insurance cuts in a budget deal negotiated by the outgoing House Speaker John Boehner that clears the deck for new House Speaker Paul Ryan. He happens also to be a critic of farm subsidies. American Farm Bureau Executive Director Dale Moore said earlier that new savings must be found that don't cut essential risk management tools and don't reopen the farm bill. Gould says how that's done and where those savings come from is still unsettled. That's a far cry, of course, from House and Senate press releases claiming that the issue of crop insurance cuts has already been settled. And finally today, the WHO has clarified its position on processed meats. The World Health Organization issued a news release to clarify the International Agency for Research, or IARC's, position on cancer as it's related to processed meats and the release from last week. The release says WHO has received several inquiries, expressions of concerns, and requests for clarification on the conclusion that declared processed meats as a known carcinogen. WHO pointed out that the IARC's review confirms the recommendation in the World Health Organization's 2002 Diet, Nutrition, and Prevention of Chronic Diseases report, which advised people to moderate consumption of preserved meat to reduce the risk of cancer. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The price of corn's been choppy and trading sideways, and it's a trend that's likely to continue, thanks U of I's Daryl Good. USDA's forecast of this year's corn crop has been very stable since it was first made. It started at 168.8 bushels to the acre in August and then dropped to 167.5 in September and rebounded last month to 168. The total production forecast declined by only 131 million bushels over that time, slightly 1% from August to October. In addition, the USDA estimate of the September 1 stocks of old crop corn came in almost exactly as expected. A new yield and production forecast will be released on November the 10th. Changes from the October forecast are expected to be modest, says Daryl Good. So there's not been much happening on the supply front to move the price of corn around. This leaves the U of I ag economist considering demand, and there isn't much there either. It leaves corn in what he calls a choppy sideways pattern.
March 2016 corn futures have traded in a sideways pattern with a range of about 95 cents over the past year, about 40 cents over the past 4 months, and about 15 cents over the past 3 weeks. The current price is near the low end of that range. A broad sideways price pattern is expected to continue through the winter months. A test of the high side of the price range will likely require a threat on the supply side, either in South America yet this year or in the U.S. next year.
USDA will update corn supply and demand figures next Tuesday. Reports on ethanol usage are due this month, and the grain stocks report in January will provide a feed usage guidepost for demand. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Amy Sage is now on the line from the Andersons right here in Champaign County to take up the cash grain market. Amy, thanks so much for being with us today. Still a few trucks straggling in, I'll bet, today, aren't there?
There are. We've got some double crop beans coming in, and I think the last little bit of corn. So we still are running extended hours today and tomorrow, but we'll see if we need them beyond that.
How are the double crop beans?
Truthfully, haven't heard actual yields on these farms that are coming in yet, but still better than what you would have expected, consistent with what we've been seeing for bean yields the rest of the year. So higher numbers than what they would have thought, especially with how late things got in.
We had an interesting conversation with Aaron Curtis during the Commodity Week program recorded last Thursday, where he suggested that Midco and its elevators, because he operates or he works with most of them, had taken in they'd taken in a lot of receipts, but they hadn't had as many sales for soybeans across the scale as expected. What's your consideration there at the Andersons?
I would completely agree with that for our territory as well here. Really consistent across corn and beans. Pretty much anything that wasn't sold, most of that went onto DP. So not locking in basis and not making cash sales. So guys are holding out. I think if we got to a $4 cash number in corn and a $9 cash number in beans again, then we'd probably see a little bit get moved there.
Enough to dump it back down?
It would probably be enough to keep a lid on it there, particularly probably at $4 corn. I think that we would see quite a bit get moved at that level. But yields were better than expected, so people went in less percent sold than what they originally anticipated as well. So I don't think people are going to dump their whole crop by any stretch of the imagination, but get a little more moved if we hit those targets.
Got any idea when that'll come into play? And I'm not asking when we'll get to 4 and 9 for cash, but
sure.
Generally speaking, are we talking about before the end of the year?
I don't think so. I think, outside of what's needed for cash flow, I think that most people are ready to just sit on their hands here until at least the first of the year. I think guys will be anxious to see what comes out on the January 12th supply and demand reports and probably reevaluate their positions at that point in time.
Will they be able to hang on that long without incurring more cost at the elevator?
Well, I guess I can speak for our elevator, and we do prorate our charges on a daily basis, so they're really not out anything by carrying it beyond the first of the year, just their 10th of a cent per bushel per day.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. What are your bids for the day?
Yes, sir. 381 cash corn for new crop. We are looking at 377 cash soybeans at 864 today, new crop at 858, and cash wheat is at 498 today.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons, joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Back in just 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with the guys at Risk Pulse there in Chicago, Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647. Or on the internet at Batescom.net.
It's National Candy Corn Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1815, Andrew Jackson Downing was born. An American horticulturalist, he was the author of The Fruits and Fruit Trees of America. In 1894, the first U.S. patent for a time clock was issued to Daniel Cooper of Rochester, New York. In 1931, the DuPont Company unveiled Duprene, the first synthetic rubber. Later named neoprene, it was the first synthetic rubber that resisted oil and gasoline. In 1944, Thomas Migley Jr. died. An American engineer and chemist, he discovered the anti-knock additive for gasoline, as well as a cleaning agent called Freon, which eventually replaced toxic gases previously used in home refrigeration. And in 1950, concentrated milk was first test marketed in the U.S. The seal test brand produced by the Clover Dairy Company was made by removing water at relatively low temperatures and pressures, producing a milk that, when water was re-added, tastes just like fresh whole milk. Removing the water concentrates the milk to one-third of its original volume, yielding a heavy cream-looking milk that improved shelf life, reduced storage space, and lowered transportation costs. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. And on this Monday afternoon, Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago is here now to discuss the weather forecast with us. Boy, it doesn't get any better than this in the month of November. At least I don't think so in our part of the world. Mark, what a great forecast. What a great day it's been so far. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, certainly here, Todd. Yeah, just a fantastic stretch of weather that we're in here for the Midwest, let alone much of the country as we go through much of this week. Yeah, right now, well, this is as of about 2 p.m. here, we had temperatures in the 70s across the vast majority of Illinois, with only the far southern sections of the state actually under the influence of some clouds and fog, keeping temperatures in the 60s and upper 50s there. But this unseasonably warm weather will prevail all this week, and in fact into week two of the forecast window too. It looks like at the present time, actually, the warmest conditions are from now through Thursday, with high temperatures in the 70s. It's not even out of the question there could be a few areas approaching 80 degrees. We're actually seeing that this afternoon across sections of Iowa and northwestern Missouri. Our next chance of rain here in Illinois, let alone the Midwest, is coming up later on this week into Thursday night, Friday. We do see a brief cooler shot thereafter, but temperatures then rebound back to above normal levels following 2 days of basically seasonal levels here. But there's a warm bias pattern, and overall kind of at least only one opportunity for rainfall this week. It's going to make just a great week of weather. As we look into other areas of the country and the overall macro pattern that we're seeing here over the next couple weeks from a rainfall standpoint, is that the southern U.S. will be on the active side. So we have another system here coming into the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, help produce rain in portions of Kansas and then down into Oklahoma, Texas. It does look like those rains will move into the Delta as well as the southeast growing areas too. So that's the active zone. And at least the further south you are in the Midwest, the better your chances for rain. And then the further north you are, the lower the precip prospects.
Well, still sounds like a pretty good forecast for the next 2 weeks, at least for us. I'm looking forward to having another conversation with you again next week on Monday. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on this Monday to take a look at the weather forecast. By the way, you can join us in Normal, Illinois if you'd like to stay up to speed on all kinds of things, including big data and the value of farmland. Runoff and regulation, it's an important one, especially as you're thinking about that anhydrous ammonia application this month. And we'll do that in Normal, Illinois on the 24th day of the month. That's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving at the Farm Assets Conference. You can pick your tickets up right now if you'd like at 800-898-1068. We'll talk about that Unlocking the Value of Big Data with John Jansen. He is the vice president there at Climate Ag Services. That's the Monsanto Group. If you use FieldView, he's the one you'd be talking with. And we're going to hold him mostly to using big data, where it comes from, how it's repurposed, what farmers can gain in value out of it. So if you'd like to see that, you can come visit us at 800-898-1065 first to pick up your tickets. Have a good day.